Did you know Nova Scotia is like the Christmas tree capital of the country?
Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum.
Tree skirts were not called tree skirts. They were called Christmas tree carpets.
Because the tree, you've opened that up and all of that is being pulled up into the tree. That's what keeps your tree fresh and gets you through a month and a half.
The tree makes it from Nova Scotia all the way down to Boston. And then they have a big tree lighting ceremony.
We don't have the candles yet. And I can't get the candles till I source the asbestos.
Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners Podcast. Well, today, whether you love the scent and tradition of going out and finding a real tree or love the ease and familiarity of your artificial tree, both are valid.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about Christmas trees today. And first of all, what I really want to do, because we haven't touched on it in a while, how is your amaryllis doing? Hashtag amaryllis challenge.
Great. Growing a little slow, but they tend to. A lot of plants are a little slow to get started. And then as they get more green, then they're photosynthesizing more. So then they get stronger and they grow faster. But progressing perfectly. My paper whites are also in bloom and my hyacinth is shooting. How's yours doing?
Not a single green bit. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like, I know we've talked about heat mat. Maybe a little bit of light. Maybe I just haven't been giving it enough moisture. But see, because that's the thing. I planted mine before you thinking I'm going to get a head start. And I'm so behind. Yeah. So
they don't want to be saturated because it'll rot the bulb. But they want to be damp.
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure that your coir base. What did you plant it in?
Yeah, we planted it in ProMix General Potting Mix.
Okay. That should be okay. Check the moisture. Make sure it's wet, but honestly, light and heat are what you're going to be going for as much as possible. Do you have a grow light? Do you have your heat mat?
So we have the heat mat from earlier this year. So the funny thing is I started with it and then I took it away.
but the thing is, though, you're right to do that. So my paper whites have never been on a heat mat.
Okay.
My hyacinth has never been on a heat mat.
Yeah.
My amaryllis is, but I don't even think my heat mat's plugged in. To be honest with you, it shouldn't need it. Do you have a grow light?
No.
No? Okay. Get it in as much natural sunlight as you can. If it's on the heat mat, did you take it off the saucer and then put the pot directly on the heat mat?
So it's in a cover pot. Okay. No. I planted it in an actual grower's pot. So it has drainage, but I put it in a cover pot. So is that detriment?
Because now the heat has to get through two layers in order. And ceramic isn't exactly the best conductor of heat.
Okay, we'll take that off. I'm going to stop being extra. Okay, so maybe next week we'll check in and see how it goes.
Yeah, take it out the cover pot. Make sure it isn't on a saucer. Put the pot directly on so it warms all of the soil up. If you can, put it in a window where it's going to get the maximum amount of full sun.
Okay.
So I'm currently watering my paper whites 3 to 4 times a week, and my amaryllis actually about the same.
Okay, that's also our problem because we're watering it once a week right now. Well, here's the problem, right? Because when we talked about amaryllis, we said, oh, it's a house plant. So then in my mind, I was like, oh, we just water it once a week like a house plant. But I mean, obviously, I know that's not the rule of thumb either. But I just assumed it would take less.
Okay, it is. Okay, let me give you that. Because you're right. We did say, you know what?
We did say house plant.
Okay, but it is a house plant.
Yeah.
However, consider this. It is a house plant, but it is currently in the germination process. Mm-hmm. It isn't an established house plant. So anything that is germinating is going to require that moisture because it needs to start its photosynthesis. It needs to start its root growth.
Okay.
Once it's established, then you can dial back the water because it has what it needs. It's got a solid root system. It's holding its water. But right now, you're pouring in water once a week. The few little roots it has aren't able to drink that amount up. It's not got any warmth, so it has none of the triggers or the impetus it needs to start growing.
But I can still do it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't give up. Feel the bulb, the part of the bulb that's out of the soil. Mm-hmm. As long as it's still firm, you're fine. Try not to agitate it. You don't want to disturb anything. As long as it's still firm, it hasn't started rotting. With the amount of water you're giving it, I can't imagine it's rotting.
Okay.
Increase your water. Increase your light. Get it out the cover pot. And put it directly on a heat mat and you should see an improvement.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. I hope that I'm not alone out there. You know, I hope anybody else who's doing the amaryllis challenge is in the same boat as I am.
That's you'll notice, by the way, I was going to say something and I dialed it back. I haven't even made one comment about maybe this is what you get for cheating.
No, let's say it. Yeah, just say it.
Cheaters never win, Brandy.
No, they don't.
Okay. Well, and if you're still struggling, if by next week it doesn't look like it's doing anything, bring it in here and I'll see if I can get it going for you.
Okay. Thank you for that. So let's move on into our Christmas tree discussion. Let's talk about Christmas tree roots.
Yeah. Roots of a tree.
Right. The history, the roots, the plant puns. Love it.
Yeah.
I had so much fun with this subject. I must tell you, I went way off into it. You know, when you're like on YouTube or on Google or whatever, you just go on this deep wormhole of information. There is so much to learn about Christmas trees and where they come from. Like that isn't one old tradition. And from what I understand, it started in Germany.
Yep. And originally it was a pagan tradition that got adopted to help with conversion, right?
Well, yeah, it was like, I guess like there was a story about like a holy tree. So definitely religious background. Yep. And then there was also evidence of like evergreen paradise trees, which were evergreens adorned with like apples and they were featured in homes on December 24th.
Ooh, so that's like a hypothetical question. If you could combine two plants.
Yes. Yes.
An apple spruce tree.
Well, they didn't grow on the spruce tree.
In my mind, they are.
But they were also adorned with candles. And I think I remember you talking about candles on a Christmas tree once.
Yeah, I have. I don't spend a lot of time with fear. Mm-hmm. That scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I've seen a Christmas tree go up in flames mainly because I light them on fire at the end of the season and have a big bonfire with friends and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I've seen those trees go up so fast that even if you were like, oh no, we light the candles while we stand there and then we blow them all out. It doesn't matter. You could be standing there and one falls into your tree. You're in trouble.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. When I was learning about this, they said candles, you did the candles thing on December 24th. We have our Christmas trees up for like a whole month. Yep. So that thing's bound to dry out and just like go right up in flame.
However, back in the day, they did make artificial snow out of asbestos.
Ew.
So I suppose if you put artificial snow on your tree, it wouldn't catch fire. So I'm not advocating that's what we do now.
But we are learning through time, right?
Maybe don't use candles or asbestos. No. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, started in Germany and like most things, when globalization is happening, you know, things are going to transfer into different areas of the world. And so Christmas trees became mainstream in Germany, that spread across Europe. Then it hopped the pond to North America. It's been a popular festive symbol since the 1870s. Remember when we were talking about tree farms?
Yep.
Germany at one point was starting to find alternatives to Christmas trees, live Christmas trees, because of the loss of forestry.
Yep.
And they even started making trees out of goose feathers. Have you seen those?
I mean, you're like, oh, we can't cut down trees because we're going to damage the forest. What, in 10 years, they're going to be like, well, we got no geese left either. It doesn't sound like a win.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I have definitely seen, I mean, they're not popular over here.
I've never even heard of that.
I've seen pictures. I have. It's very interesting. Yeah. Probably not big ones, like tabletop ones.
Yeah. I don't know. What my brain is picturing is not a tree. It's like I'm picturing some like weird hat that some Victorian lady would wear. Like, oh, hello, look at my goose hat. Yeah. Like, oh, I do say Marjorie. It looks like a tree. That is bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really cool. I didn't really know that they originated in Germany. And like, I then kind of went down the wormhole of like, what did Christmas tree decorations look like back then? And obviously, like, you didn't have, you know, Amazon back then. So it was a lot of handmade things. Yep. A lot of, interestingly enough, the first Christmas trees were fir or yew.
Okay.
And they were decorated with food.
Yes. And I mean, I've never understood the time it would take to do it. But I had friends who used to do it in Montreal to decorate their tree.
Yeah.
And I believe they were European descent. They were Canadian, but I believe their grandparents were European. Mm-hmm. And they used to thread the popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'd pop popcorn. No butter or anything, mm-hmm. obviously. And they would thread it and they would decorate the tree with popcorn.
You know what I've always wanted to do is dried oranges on trees, like making orange ornaments. Those are super cool, dehydrated.
Do you know what Jenny asked me to make her a few years ago, and I did, and she still puts them on the tree. Mm. So you know when you buy a live tree and you cut the bottom off?
Yeah.
Okay, keep the bottom. And what I did is I left it with the bark on it and whatnot, and I painted both sides with chalkboard paint.
Okay.
Drilled a hole in it, put a ribbon on it, and you hang it on the tree, and then every year you take your chalk and you draw a little different picture on
it. That's so cute.
So you do like a snowman or Santa Claus or a snowflake. Yeah. I mean, if you come into the acre, if you're like, oh, I'd like to try that, we have enough cutoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's true.
So if you wanted a few, sure, we're not doing anything with them. But yeah, that was a fun ornament idea. I think she found that one on, I'm going to guess, Pinterest. Sounds Pinterest-y.
Yeah, it does sound Pinterest-y. what was the other thing? Like wood ornaments would also be popular. Like anything that you can get your hand on that was a natural resource.
My mom still puts up ornaments that I made in... preschool.
Those are my favorite kinds.
Some of them are just terrible.
I know they, you'll never get rid of it though.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, maybe eventually, but.
My sister, so one of hers that I remember, and she made jingle bells.
Okay.
But what they did is they cut the cups off the bottom of an egg carton.
Yeah.
Ran a thread through them. So they're hanging upside down and they look like bells and then spray paint them silver.
Oh, that's. Wow.
And you've got jingle bells.
Yeah.
Yeah, that don't make any sound because they're cardboard with thread, but jingle bells.
The thought is still there, right?
Yeah.
So then they moved into glass ornaments like later down the road. Like obviously you have the foundation, you build on it, right? Yeah. Now it's become what it is today. Guess what tree skirts were originally used for?
Goose dresses?
No. Okay, so tree skirts were not called tree skirts. They were called Christmas tree carpets. So you know how like nowadays we kind of put it around the stand to cover it? So they used to only sit underneath it, and it was to protect the floor from pine needles, but also from candle wax because it would drip down, right?
Stop using candles.
I know. But that's actually one of the things that moved from using candles to Christmas lights on trees, right? Was that fire hazard.
Did you always have lights on your trees ever since you were a kid?
Okay, so I don't know if this ages me, but do you remember those bubble lights?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can even have those anymore. They're like vintage or whatever now.
First time I saw them, I loved them.
I love those. So yeah, we would always have like the big chunky lights and then those little bubble lights. And they were my favorite thing on the tree.
Yeah.
Loved it.
We never had lights when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't. Nobody did.
Did you have tinsel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tinsel, garland, all of that stuff. It's funny in England, what you call garland here is called tinsel.
Oh.
And what you guys call tinsel, we used to call snowflakes.
Snowflakes. Yeah. I've heard of this before.
So we had ornaments.
Yep. You don't call them baubles?
Yeah, baubles. But I call them ornaments now because we have those handcrafted ones and wood ones.
Right.
And
okay.
Yeah, we got the whole gamut. I must have been, I want to say maybe 8 or 9 years old when we got our first set of Christmas tree lights.
Really?
And I was just,
Were they multicolored or clear?
Yeah, multicolored.
Multi,
which I actually don't like now as an adult.
Yeah.
I don't like multicolored. I like the yellow, the white yellow lights.
The warm one. Yeah, me too. I must admit, I like the, it's like cozy.
Harry likes the multicolor lights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I had a tree that I somewhat donated to work and it has both.
Okay, I don't like both at the same time. Okay.
No, it'll like fade into each other.
No, still no?
Okay.
No, still a hard no for me.
That's fine.
Okay, so the trees we have here at Golden Acre are decorated unbelievably well.
Yes.
They are phenomenal. However, I wouldn't want one of those in my house.
No.
It's not my taste.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago we were decorating the tree and Jenny had a real clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted a wildlife theme with gold, red, and green colors. Well, that did not fly with Harry. And he kept putting the blue and the purple baubles on the tree, and Jenny kept taking them off. The two of them ended up fighting over it. I think it was like the next week, maybe 2 weeks after, maybe when we were putting the presents under the tree. We looked, and the back of the tree, every single one of the colored balls was on.
No.
Well played, Harry.
Oh, he did it.
Yeah.
She didn't just move into the back.
No, she took them down. And then when Jenny was like asleep, because he was like a little kid then, so he used to wake up early as opposed to the teenager he is now. And he must have got up early one day and he hung every single like silver, purple, blue, every
what
color that Jenny.
Pants. Yeah.
But in his mind, typical kid.
Yeah.
More is more, mm-hmm. not less is more. Mm-hmm. And he wanted absolutely anything and everything we could. When he was very little, we had a little tree for his room, little artificial tree. And one day we're decorating the tree and we're like, where's this ornament? And we went in. And he must have had 15, or you couldn't see the tree for ornaments. And we were like, no, dude, we bought you your own ornaments. Yeah. These are for the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. He absolutely loved them.
You know, maybe that's why the Christmas tree is such, I mean, sure, it started where it started, but maybe nowadays, because I mean, most people, well, not, I shouldn't say most people, but there are some people who have multiple Christmas trees in yep. their house, right? They'll have like a theme tree here, a theme tree there. I follow this YouTuber and she has a tree that's just for her and her husband and all their travels. So they pick up an ornament everywhere they go.
Oh, nice.
And then, right? And then they put up the Christmas tree. But maybe the reason why it's so iconic is because we attach memories to it, or these are things that are important to me and things that I like.
Yep.
Right. So maybe that's what we look forward to. That's why we have it up so early. That's why we have it like a month in advance.
I'm not super sentimental about a lot of things. Like anybody who's heard me talk will know that push comes to shove, I'll get rid of a plant like that and just start another one.
Yeah.
There are some ornaments that have deep sentimental value. Like we have a tradition. Every year, Jenny, Harry, and I come to Golden Acre and we all buy an ornament of our choice. Mm-hmm. And one year, the ornament Harry bought was a bright red English double-decker bus because he knew I was from England, so he wanted to get that for me.
Oh, cute.
And I was like, buddy, it's your choice. And he was like, yeah, this is the one I choose.
Oh, see, but that's so beautiful though, right?
And I'm like, okay. And then I've got one ornament. When my mom and dad got married way back when, they didn't have a lot of money starting out in life, and they had their first Christmas together, and they had enough money to buy one pack of baubles for their tiny little tree. They had a tiny little flat in England, and they bought these glass ornaments pretty cheap, nothing super fancy. They couldn't afford it, and they still have those ornaments. And some have broken over the years for sure, mm-hmm. but my mom still has quite a few. And I never used to put up a tree until I got married and had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just did. I didn't care. And when I did that, I asked mom if I could have one. And it is probably the most carefully wrapped. It is the first ornament that comes away, and it is the first ornament that gets packed away. So mm-hmm. when I'm done, that comes off, bubble wrapped, tissue paper, everything else, and put away. Then when I lift all the ornaments, that one comes out and goes straight on the tree so it doesn't get knocked off. And I always put it up high so Jimmy doesn't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I absolutely have sentimental value in my ornaments.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. So when we're talking about live Christmas trees, one of the things that I was really interested in talking about was the types of Christmas trees. Because being raised in Alberta, I was really only ever exposed to a couple different kinds. There was like the balsam fir. And then there was the Douglas fir from BC.
Yep.
And so when I started looking it up, I was like, mostly focusing in around Canada, because obviously trees can grow differently in different regions. So the most popular one is called the Scotch pine.
Scott, I think we've actually had Scotch pine in the store before.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing it, like, but it wasn't very common.
No, and that's funny because we've had them once. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because it was one of those that a lot of people commented on.
Yeah.
But not many people bought.
Yeah.
So the amount of comments it got, and good comments, people going, oh my God, that looks amazing. Oh my God, that reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah.
And then they went and bought one of the balsams.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. Yeah. Like, and they're very different. One of the reasons why some people like the Scotch pine is because it hardly sheds its long needles. So it's a little bit less to clean up.
the pine is a beautiful tree, but it's normally very thin. It's very wispy.
Yeah, exactly. So number two, going into balsam fir a bit, that's one of the ones that we carry in store. And I get one every year. I bought one and it's on hold in the tree lot right now. What I really love about the balsam firs, we get them from Nova Scotia and they're just like bushy and vibrant and they smell amazing.
The smell, yeah. My favorite thing about them is the video you took of Brad running through and just his feet at the bottom of the tree.
I am such a balsam fir fan. And what's really great is, like I say, they're from Nova Scotia. Did you know Nova Scotia is like the Christmas tree capital of the country?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on because I want to give like a special shout out to Nova Scotia and how amazing they are. But yeah, that was really surprising. And I love that they make the trek every single year. And apparently there's a huge export of Christmas trees from Canada and Nova Scotia down into like the States and around the world. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to save that till the point where we talk about it. I think I know
what you're going to talk about because I want to talk about it too.
Well, I'm going to talk about it first then.
Okay, no. Okay, we'll save it. Okay.
We'll see you guess
number
that first.
Number three is the white spruce.
Ah.
Have you heard of that one?
Yep. So I cut down my own tree last year.
Yeah.
And it was a spruce.
No way. Yeah. That was a spruce.
And we had a spruce. Now, I loved it. I loved the cutting down. I loved that whole romanticized thing. That was a lot of fun. Definitely thinner, but I also took it from the wild. So it wasn't exactly cared for the same way. Oh my God. Some of the strongest branches ever. Yeah. Like putting the heavy ornaments on and the branch didn't even dip.
Exactly. That's what they say here too, is that's one of the highlights is the strength. Number four, the Douglas fir. I know typically these ones come from the West Coast.
Yep.
So BC people.
Yep.
That's your kind of tree. Number five, the Fraser fir.
Which I'm going to guess comes from the Fraser Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. Number six, the White Pine.
Yep.
Number seven, the Noble fir. I'd never heard of a Noble fir before.
We stopped bringing them in. We used to get Noble fir boughs.
Oh, yeah.
And we stopped bringing them in. Because we get balsam fir boughs, and now they're not identical, but the noble fir, once the boughs have been cut, don't stay as nice for the same length of time that the balsams do.
Ah.
So we stopped bringing them in just because we want our customers to get the value.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we kind of looked and we said, these ones aren't as nice. So we hummed in hard and then we said, okay, no, we're not bringing in noble. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we stopped doing the noble fir.
Okay, okay. What about Colorado blue spruce?
Never had that and I've never seen it.
I know, Kate, because we sell them in the tree lot during the spring and summer season, but I've never seen someone actually bring it in and use it as a Christmas tree.
Okay, but hold on one second.
Yeah.
Okay. Rewind. Zip, 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 zip. We never said, you said most popular Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You never said most popular indoor Christmas tree. In my neighborhood alone, there are at least nine that I can think of off the top of my head, Colorado blue spruce in people's gardens that are decorated.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's
those
fair.
Big, huge trees that have got the lights all the way up to the top. Does that count as a Christmas tree?
Well, and that's the other thing too, is they were saying that it's probably one of the best candidates to hold lights.
Yeah.
Because again, it's nice and structurally sound.
And they are full.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little like, it's a really interesting color too, right? Because it's not that traditional bright green.
I don't know that I would like that in my house.
No.
I got to be honest. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody. It's never one size fits all.
Yeah.
But I like the traditional deep green.
Yeah.
And that was one thing about the spruce as well. Actually, I should touch on that. It did not have the fragrance that the balsam had.
Yeah. So is that sort of the main reasons why we chose to bring balsam into the store? Like,
so the tree farm that we've been buying from, we've been working with that family for decades now. So if you look at your tree, have you noticed that some of them have got like the natural tips on them and some of them have been pruned? It's because from the moment those trees are growing, they start shaping them.
No way.
Yeah. And that's why you get that perfect pyramid.
Every time.
Yep. That's why it looks so incredible.
Yeah.
And it's the work they put into them and the fragrance, just everything about them. The only downside is when you're putting a real heavy ornament on, some of the branches can be a little weak.
Yeah.
But there are so many branches, you just balance it on the lower ones and it works perfect. We had it was actually a metal ornament.
Yeah.
And it was heavy. And every time we put it on, it was slipping. So I took some ribbon that we had for wrapping parcels.
Yeah.
put it through the hook and literally tied it onto the branch.
Yeah.
That's and I'm like, there you go.
And another thing, you can set things inside of it because there's so many branches
exactly.
that it'll just hold. Like we put, okay, this is, here's, get to know Brandy. She likes to put stuffed animals in the tree.
That's so on away brand. From it. So on Brandy. I like the moment you said that, I'm like, of course you do. Yep.
But I just like to sit them in, and the balsam fir is perfect yeah. for that.
They are so dense.
Yeah.
And I've done that before. We have some plates, like not like a dinner plate, just a big round disc is a better word. And one has a bear and one has a raccoon, mine and Jenny's totem animals, and they're heavy. We do that. Three or four branches mm-hmm. that it sits on, and then you balance it on the branches yeah. below. They've never fallen off. They hang beautifully every yeah. year. So because they're so dense, you can make it work. Yeah. And that's what I said. Like the only downside, if I'm looking for one, is that the branches aren't that strong, but it has never impeded us decorating it.
Sounds like we're doing like an infomercial for...
I know,
I honestly feel like I'm in the balsam fir fan club.
Yeah. The only reason I went, and we're doing it again this year, I've already got my permit. The
yep.
only reason I'm doing it is because I love the whole pageantry of going out and hiking and looking for that perfect mm-hmm. tree and checking it out. And like I said, oh no, that one's got a bird's nest, or, ooh, I don't like the side of that one. And
yeah.
you spend the time and it's that togetherness as a family, and you go, okay, we've got the tree, and then you get it back to the Jeep. And mm-hmm. it is a very romantic notion for me. And I yeah. really thoroughly enjoyed it. If that wasn't on the option, or it was too cold, or the trees weren't great, if I went out all day, didn't find a suitable tree, I would absolutely get a balsam.
Yeah.
And I preferred the balsam to my spruce.
Yeah.
Like I said, my spruce was stronger. That was literally it. But it's everything else that comes with it.
Yeah. Let's talk about some famous Christmas
Rockefeller
trees.
Rockefeller Plaza.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. That was actually the first one I was going to talk about. Okay. What do you want to say about Rockefeller Center?
I was just going to say that the tree every year is gifted to them from the Maritimes.
Are you sure that's not the Boston one?
Is that the, no, it's, I remember, oh, you know
I
what?
I think it's Boston.
There you go. I just learned something. Doesn't matter. I said it first. Isn't that funny? Because, okay, here's the thing. I've never researched it. But when I lived in the yeah. Maritimes, that's what everybody said.
Yes. Oh, really? The Rockefeller Center?
The Rockefeller. Because here's the thing. I've been to Rockefeller Plaza yeah. in the winter.
Yeah.
And it really is like the Rockwellian, everybody skating, this massive tree lit up. One of the reasons we went, one, my uncle was making it like literally the best like Hollywood movie, New York Christmas trip we'd ever been on. But we wanted to see the tree because everybody always said, yeah, the Rockefeller tree comes from the Maritimes.
I feel really bad. Unless my research is off, but here's what I learned about the Rockefeller Center tree. It's 80 feet tall.
Yep.
This year, it's from Vestal, New York. So the second famous tree is called the Boston Common Tree Lighting, and it happens every year. And this one is the one that is from Nova Scotia.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So if anybody doesn't know, this will be the 50th.
And don't ever feel bad. I'm glad I learned that. Like, because again, I never read every single yeah. person in the Maritimes yeah. that, I mean, it, not every single person. We didn't spend a lot of time in the Maritimes sitting around talking about the Rockefeller tree. But whenever it came up, everybody would be like, yeah, that tree comes from the Maritimes, eh? Like it was a source of pride.
Yeah. Nova Scotia will be giving a tree to the people of Boston as thanks for relief efforts following the Halifax Harbor explosion in 1917, right?
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we,
I know.
We learned about that explosion in history in England.
Really?
Yeah, we learned yeah. about the, because it was part of World War One.
Yeah. I yeah. remember learning about it in school.
Yeah.
It was a huge mark on our history.
Yeah.
But I mean, within 24 hours of the disaster happening, a train loaded with supplies and personnel made its way from Boston to Nova Scotia. And there was a whole connection that has lasted this long, because every year a tree makes it from Nova Scotia all the way down to Boston. And then they have a big tree lighting ceremony. And it's just this big, beautiful display of friendship.
Those are the stories we need, because
yeah.
we hear in the news, I'm not going to touch on anything specific, but everybody knows what's going on lately. And I love hearing stories like that mm-hmm. or the story of why the Netherlands developed a bulb and give us so many bulbs to Ottawa. Have you ever heard the story, a little bit off Christmas here, about the Danish Navy and the Canadian Navy? And there's an unclaimed island. Both nations claim it. And it's literally a hunk of rock in the Atlantic. It's not a, you can't live there. Every once in a while, the Navy will do exercises and they go by. And when the Canadians go, they take down the Danish flag very ceremoniously. Yeah. They don't rip it down. They take it down ceremoniously. And the Danish leave a bottle of schnapps at the bottom of the flagpole. The captain of the vessel takes that, and then they put up a Canadian flag and leave a bottle of Canadian whiskey.
That's so fun.
And when the Danish Navy go by, they lower the Canadian flag, they raise a Danish flag, and they take the whiskey and leave a bottle of schnapps.
Seriously.
And I'm like, there can be camaraderie. There can be a connection. There can be things that we remember. And those are, you know, the news is all doom and gloom, and doom and gloom sells. These are the stories we actually need. We need to see that there's more connectivity and positive feelings than there is just negative.
People actually really appreciate it. Yep. There's the Tree for Boston on Instagram. I went to go check it out, and somebody said, so the tree made its voyage on November 14th. The tree lighting ceremony is November 30th. I was following the journey because it gave updates on where the tree was. And this one person said, thank you. Your friendship is very special to us. And everybody seemed super appreciative. Now, there was also some like personification of the tree because the tree uses first person. And so this one person said, the company my husband works for will be decorating you. They always do a beautiful job. See you in Boston. And I was like, little creepy, but you know, it's still quite beautiful.
Exactly.
Right. And I mean, even
it's cute.
Yeah. Even the Instagram channel was making some fun. They were like, hey, Boston, your package has been shipped. Order details are indicated below. It's so cute.
Exactly. Play with it. Have fun. I remember as a kid, the first time they put it on the news, I believe it was the BBC who did it. And it was a Santa tracker. I was only 6 or 7. And I remember as a kid writing a letter to Santa Claus and getting a reply from Santa Claus.
You were lucky to get a reply from Santa?
Yeah, I wrote a letter and put it in the mailbox. A week or 2 weeks later, sure enough, there was a letter waiting for me from Santa Claus.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, like, I mean, those are core memories.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't realize Nova Scotia has it going on when it comes with Christmas. Like, they're like the Christmas tree capital of Canada. Oh, have you heard of Woody the Talking Christmas Tree in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia? This has been making the rounds on the news lately.
Yep.
This is the first year I'd ever seen it. Apparently, it's been going on since like the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And there was like a 15-year dark spell where they were trying to figure out the structure of it. But other than that, like, it's been a thing that kids and families look forward to every year at Micmac Mall. Kind of thought it was a little weird at the beginning, mostly because like they changed the look of it this year and that's been getting a lot of attention. If you haven't heard the story yet, I'm going to pop this up on our show notes over at goldenacre.ca/blog. You're going to find all the links to everything we're talking about today, but I'll also include a picture of the tree and then you can make the judgment for yourself. Apparently, when you're done visiting Woody, they give you a free tree sapling and you can take it home and plant it in your backyard. So that was really interesting. And new this year is Woody's store. And you can buy various Woody merchandise like toques, magnets, car refresheners.
The car, so it's one of those pine tree car fresheners with his face on it. Okay, that's fantastic.
Okay, but you can also get a Woody hoodie.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to be the Grinch in this story. He's creepy.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
think that's the thing. Right now, he's getting 50-50 right now. Like, some people are, like, so hype. Some people are just thinking it's super creepy, so.
The face and what, it's
doesn't. It's a little shocking.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me, but at least it's a tradition. Yeah. At least, and even the people who don't like it, they're talking about it.
And the proceeds of this store are actually going to help the IWK Foundation in Halifax to help families in need. So it's for a good cause.
Win-win.
I'm glad that it's getting the attention across the country that it is, because then that charity gets a little bit of recognition.
Absolutely.
But you know how we have the Blue Ring Twitter account? Okay, so there's a spoof account of Woody the Talking Tree.
Of course.
It's called Woody the Tweeting Christmas Tree. Okay, I'm going to put a link in here because some of the content
I hope we're following him on Twitter.
No, I mean, I should. Okay, fine, I will. Okay, follow. I just did. Okay. what do they say? Gladys at Cinnabon says hi. I'm back, Birches.
I love it when people have fun with that.
It's honestly like the Wendy's tweet, like Twitter account. It's got the same vibe, but it's a total spoof account. So I would assume Woody the Talking Tree is a little more family friendly.
You know what's funny is talking about this and famous trees around the world.
Yeah.
I have some very, very good friends, like childhood friends, who live in Australia now. I just want to say how much I hate them for living. No, I'm kidding. It has nothing to do with Christmas. I just want to throw Simon and Brendan under the bus. A few years ago, Simon shared a picture on Facebook, and he was with his wife and kids on Christmas Day, and it was 37 degrees, and they were on the beach. They had Christmas dinner on the beach. Christmas. And I was like, oh my God, dude, that's so cool. And he's like, I got to tell you, man. He's like, it's not. He's like, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Mm-hmm. Sydney put up a big Christmas tree and decorate it, but it's like, yeah, I get it. Because it's not just the tree.
Yeah.
It's everything else. It's the snow outside and the Christmas planters. And I've always lived in northern climates, northern England, now Canada and whatnot. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of winter. Everybody knows. I'm not going to say I hate winter, but it's my fourth favorite season. that's for sure. But I don't think Christmas would be the same.
Well, when you're watching Christmas movies, what do you see?
Yeah.
You see North American Christmas.
Exactly.
You don't see Australian Christmas.
Yeah. For that reason. Now, with that being said, I very, very much would like to have a tropical Christmas one time. I would very much like, I would have no problem spending Christmas in like Mexico or something. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Maybe one day it might be something to try.
Yeah. I would absolutely do it. My mom adores Christmas. She really does. She loves, my mom literally is, she is one of the people that her favorite thing is giving gifts. Aww. She doesn't ask for anything. She doesn't want anything. Mm-hmm. She's talking about somebody she knows. And this person is currently, they're fostering some children, mm-hmm. And they're going through the legal process to formally adopt the children. And my mom's like, well, you know, I've been talking to Cheryl a few times, so obviously I've got to get her kids something for Christmas.
Obviously.
Like, yeah, obviously, Ma, that's right. And she's like, Harry's girlfriend, what would she like? Harry's best friend, can you tell me what his favorite things are? And because she's like, I know they're going to visit on Christmas Day, and if we all have presents, we don't want them feeling left out.
That's so precious.
Yeah. So mom loves Christmas. So as long as mom is still around, mom isn't healthy enough to travel. Mm-hmm. So as long as mom is still kicking around, and for many, many Christmases more, please, mom, I won't go anywhere for Christmas. I'll always be home because it means so much to my mom. Mm,
especially while Harry is still young.
Yeah.
And you have that tight family unit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just to kind of round out our discussion here, I really wanted to go into care of real Christmas trees, just because this is one of the most popular questions that we get this time of year. So does it vary between tree types, or is it pretty much all the same?
Pretty much all the same. So a couple of do's and don'ts. So what you said, you guys bought your tree, but you're not ready to put it up yet.
Yes.
Because you're a huge Grinch.
No. It's because I'm going to put candles in it. I'm just kidding.
We don't have the candles yet. And I can't get the candles till I source the asbestos. It's proving a real challenge. But no, you did it smart. Let us hold the tree. Mm-hmm. Now, if you buy it from, a place that can't hold it, Boy Scouts, whatnot, and you have to take it home, a mistake I have heard from people, and it always makes me sad, is they take the tree home and they lie it down in the backyard. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
no problem.
That seems like a pretty automatic
seems like what you would do.
Response. Yeah.
Except then we get moisture, and then it freezes, and then you go and peel your tree up and you leave half the branches and needles behind.
Like when you wax your arm and then all the hair.
Exactly. But you only wax one arm and only the upper part of it.
And then that side goes against the wall.
Exactly. Oh, but then people like us, we don't have the tree against the wall. It goes against a window.
Yeah.
So you can see it from the outside. Oh. So If you're going to bring your tree home, if you have no choice, stand it up, put it in the garage. Mm-hmm. If you can't leave it outside, stand it up. There's nothing wrong with standing it up in the tree stand and put it in the basement. Mm-hmm. Put it somewhere out of the way. You can even leave it wrapped up.
Yep.
You're not going to hurt it. So keep an eye out for that. And then another thing, and I get it. People get excited. I absolutely get it. And they take their tree home and they set it up and they put it in the stand and then they put water in and then they decorate it immediately. Let it stand for 24 hours.
Oh, why is that?
Because the branches settle. It's being bundled up, it's wrapped tight, and it's in the cold. Mm-hmm. So you bring it home, sure, the moment you take the wrapping, the branches open. But if you give it 24 hours in the warmth, the branches settle.
Yeah.
They go back to that. Because you put the ornaments on, and then it settles, and your ornaments are hanging all over the place. And you're like, that does not look like how I decorated
redo.
It.
Redo.
Yeah. So give it 24 hours. Mm-hmm. The other part is, again, people get excited. So they get it home, they're like, set it up, and they set it up. And they put it in and they fill it with water and then they decorate it and they go, oh, that's weird. My tree isn't drinking because they forgot to cut the bottom off.
Oh, you have to do that.
Have to cut the bottom.
Why is that?
So when you cut a tree, much like when we cut ourselves, blood runs, sap runs. So sap runs to the wound. The sap goes down. Sap is very sticky. And what it does is it seals the wound. That's literally its job. So if you ever see a tree where it's got a ton of sap and you peel the sap off and there's a cut or a scar or something in the tree, the sap is basically forming a scab. That sap essentially forms a plug. Now, you don't cut the bottom off, the tree can't uptake any water. So now it's drying out. You cut the bottom off, ideally no more than 2 hours max before you set it up and put it in the water, put it in the tree stand. What happens is you've opened it and now you've allowed, now it's not really going to photosynthesize, but you've allowed that vacuum photosynthesis system to operate. And the tree will often do what we say, take a big drink. So I don't know if you've ever put your tree up and you fill up the tree stand and you come down the next morning and it's almost empty.
I noticed that last year. I was like, why is it so thirsty? Yeah,
because the tree, you've opened that up and all of that is being pulled up into the tree. That's what keeps your tree fresh and gets you through a month and a half of having a tree up.
Uh-huh.
But people get excited and they forget to cut it off, or they don't cut off enough. You don't want to cut off anything less than about an inch.
Yeah.
Really clean out all of that sap. And then one thing I recommend is buy a proper Christmas tree preserve.
Okay. Okay.
Depending on how much you buy, how big the bottle is, it can be anywhere from like $7 to $11.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And I know people go, oh, well, I use Sprite or ginger ale, or if it's from Nova Scotia, Alexander Keith's. No, I don't recommend putting beer in. Maybe some people do. I don't know.
Not sharing.
The reason I don't recommend that is I don't know the science behind it. There's nothing really in there other than sugar. Sugar can also, if you ever spilled Sprite on your counter and it gets real sticky, it can create a sticky mess on the bottom of the tree and impede water uptake.
Okay.
So anybody who does it and they swear by it and they've had great success, fill your boots.
Yep.
I'm not going to tell you to not do it. I don't recommend it because I don't know the science behind it. Buy the Christmas tree preserve, put it in, follow the directions. And it's like when you buy cut flowers, you put in that little packet of cut flower fertilizer. Yep. It keeps them better. It's formulated for that reason.
Okay.
It's not snake oil. It really isn't. It absolutely works. And then after you've got your tree set up, decorate it with whatever you want other than candles and asbestos.
Yeah. But then what happens after the season?
After the season, take it down, bundle it up. And I mean, you can compost it at the city.
Yeah.
Or you can chop it up and put it in your own bin.
Yeah.
Or you can have a bonfire and have all your friends around and have a picnic and have s'mores and everything else and have a jolly good time.
Okay, so my hypothetical question this week is, if you were to decorate your Christmas tree with your favorite food, what would it be and why?
Butter chicken. Butter tofu, actually. You said my favorite food.
I'm trying to figure out how that would actually work.
I have no idea either.
I'm the ideas man.
Incredibly, I think I would need to invest in one of those tree carpets you were talking about.
You know what I imagine? I imagine you taking the little pieces of chicken or tofu. Or paneer. What do you use?
Tofu.
You use tofu.
Yep.
Just sticking it on the edge ends yep. of the tree and then just like coating it in butter chicken sauce.
And then sprinkle the rice like snowflakes. And then use sticky basmati rice and you could make snowballs.
Oh, there you go. There okay. You go. Okay. So now we've made it okay.
So butter chicken is probably my favorite food, but I don't know that it would translate well to a tree.
No.
So if I had to think of a food... Do you know what I think would be the easiest?
What?
And I mean, who doesn't like them? Donuts.
Oh, that's such a hole.
They've already got the hole.
Okay, that's 100% would be Brad's answer.
Yeah, and you literally put the hole through the branch.
Yeah.
And then you got a donut. And then when you're hungry, you can just take a donut off the tree and eat it.
Then you could put donut holes on the ends of the tree. Oh, that would actually be super cute.
And then
cute.
That would stop your donut from falling off if it got too heavy. I wouldn't recommend using Boston creams. Again, we're getting back to the butter tofu mess.
Yeah, exactly. Just the ones with the holes
exactly.
in it, right? I like, what about like corn dogs?
Oh my God. When you said corn, I was thinking popcorn. And nope, you finished it with corn. Oh my God.
I love how all of these are just hot food.
But like, you know what? The corn dog. Okay, corn dog. Turn it upside down so you're not holding it by the stick. The stick's at the top. Hey, presto, it looks like a candle.
Back to candle.
Exactly. You got to bring everything full circle.
What about a candy tree? Like you could make that candy rope as the
candy canes.
Garland, the candy canes. Yeah.
Yep. Do you hang candy canes on trees?
I liked it as a kid. I loved it because I would actually eat them. But now I just put candy canes on the tree and then they just sit there and don't do anything.
Candy canes now are like, oh my God, I love candy canes. And I eat one. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good until next year.
You know what I really love though is Toblerone.
Oh my God.
I just got gifted a Toblerone bar from Costco. You know those, you go to Costco to do it up big, right? So these are huge bars. Yeah. I would put a whole bunch of Toblerone in a tree.
I wouldn't. I would eat my Toblerone while I was putting my butter tofu in the tree. Toblerone is exceptional.
It's deadly.
Yeah. You know what I did one time? I made Christmas brownies.
Oh.
And I did my brownie batch.
Yeah.
But then I used essence of mint. Oh. So it was like a mint chocolate. And then for the last 7 minutes while they were baking, I took a candy cane. And I wrapped it up and I smashed the hell out of it in parchment paper with a little framing hammer.
Yeah.
Then I sprinkled it all over the top of the brownies so it melted on and it had the candy cane red, green, and white melted on top. So there was like a crispy shell and then a mint chocolate brownie underneath it.
Okay, so I want that in a tree. Let's be honest. Okay, that's my answer here on out. But that's really cool. I love how all of our food choices are not at all like... Like back then they did oranges and they did like apples and stuff. And us is like, no, we have to make butter chicken and then put it on.
So I read a story years and years and years ago when I was a kid in England. And you know why they used to put oranges in stockings? You know how you hang your stocking up for Santa Claus to fill it? Do you know why they used to put oranges in it?
Why?
Because you drop the orange in first and it's heavy. And it goes all the way down to the toe and it pulls the stocking down to make it bigger so you can fit more presents in it.
So smart.
That's the tradition of like when we were kids in England, we would always get an orange in our stockings.
Yeah.
And it was a tradition and that's where it came from in a story that I read.
That's why.
Yeah. So that's why oranges are in stockings because it stretches the stocking. So it makes it long.
Did you ever eat it?
I'm pretty sure I put it on the table.
I think I did too. I don't remember eating it.
It's Christmas. I was like, oh, there's a Toblerone and some donuts and some buttered chicken
and an orange.
You're like, oh, I'll get right on the orange. But ironically too, out of all those foods, the orange is really the only one that you naturally unwrap.
Yeah.
It's like a built-in Christmas gift.
Do you ever have those Terry chocolate oranges?
Oh, every year my mom buys me one.
I always have to get someone to help me because I can't do it. I can't smash it hard enough.
Oh my God.
I think that.
So you're like tap and you unwrap it and it's still a solid block.
And I would spend so much time getting it open. I like, don't even worry about the other stuff in the stocking, yep, because I'm stuck on this chocolate orange. So.
Oh, chocolate, Terry's chocolate orange. Yeah, they were a staple in our house.
Yeah, like, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Well, that was really fun. I really enjoyed this conversation on Christmas trees, artificial and real. I actually learned a lot this week, so it was really fun. We're going to have a holiday special coming up in a few weeks. We'll chat more about the traditions around the world, traditions in our own lives, and we'll actually go on camera. I really liked our little gnome episode for Halloween.
Yeah.
So keep an eye open for that. Of course, we'll be back next week to talk more about gardening and Christmas and all of the good stuff. So we'll catch you next Sunday.
Bye, everyone.